This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10. For you and three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh.
Applebee's.
If I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, love of my life, Nathan, gonna be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
I'm getting a nosebleed.
Probably my friend Jeremy. Okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question, Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were gonna order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
So okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finediningpodcast. This is a song about what's wrong with me.
Oh boy. Settle in.
I have stayed home many lonely nights. I am single with no babes in sight. And I wonder what I've done. Am I ugly?
Yeah.
Or no fun?
Yeah.
Back to the apps. Hinge is the best one. I mean, it's fine. It feels less gross than the other ones. So I swipe right. And I say my prayer. I didn't change this line. I am frightened by the load I bear. So I talk to my best friend. What's a flaw that I can mend? She says there's one. It's on my tongue. Breath of Kevin. Just chew some gum, dude. Did you eat onions or tuna? Breath of Kevin. Breath of Kevin. No one will want this unless you get some good breath mints. You'll die a virgin. Breath of Kevin. We listened to Amy Grant's album Home for Christmas, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun.
Here comes Christmas for me.
Hey, okay, hey. Bitch, watch this. You got me straight tripping.
I'm just chilling in Cedar Rapids.
She's just chilling because it's Christmas. Welcome to Good Christian Fun or Good Christmas Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
We're here to have some good Christian fun. I wrote that song thinking, what would Caroline write about me? And then I like really tried to embody all the things.
I think you surpassed what I could have written. I mean, it would be short.
The sentiment.
That was fantastic.
It would just be the you'll die virgin part.
Although your breath should be amazing because you're using your Quip toothbrush all the time, right, Kevin?
Hey, listen, I think they still sponsor us at this point. Sure.
Your nasty mouth.
Caroline, what is good Christian fun?
This is where we talk about Christian pop culture. And man, we're in the perfect season for it. It's Christmas. Christians own Christmas. This is our time.
Yeah, let's talk about what Christians own in America. Let's drill down on that.
Having a bad attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Being exclusive. Being weird.
Wait, you think Christians own it or Coca-Cola does?
What? Being exclusive?
No, owning Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Corporations are good. Jeff Bezos is good.
Do they have a Diet Coke Santa? Like, is he wear silver and he's like a little skinny?
They should. Coke Zero Santa.
What's the green one? Like a Coke Natural or
There's
whatever?
There's a green Coke?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
it's
no.
Like they're pushing it hard.
Never a Coke, man. That was not part of it. I remember when I had a soda for the first time when I was 14. It blew my mind.
That was your first time at 14?
Yeah.
Were you like purposely abstaining?
Yeah, I was waiting for marriage, but then I got pressured into it by my girlfriend at the time.
Well, God covers that.
Yeah, he does. That's he does right. Cover that. And today we're covering Amy Grant calling Home for Christmas, her second Christmas album.
Yeah.
Now, when we had friend of the show Stacey Orsano on last year, she said, oh, let's do Amy Grant's Christmas album. I said, okay, great. We'll do the first one. Home for Christmas came out in 1984 or whatever. And then later we found out, she was like, oh no, I meant the red one. This one. She was thinking of Home for Christmas. That's the one she grew up with.
Yeah.
But we still did that anyway. And we said, hey, when you come back next year, do Home for Christmas with us. And
yeah.
She's like, yeah. Out of town right now. So.
Is that what you say when people pass away, Kevin?
She's just, out of town.
The
moved
dog's
out
just
of town.
Out of town for a little
Stacey
while.
Stacey Orestano moved to a podcast studio upstate where she runs around with all the other podcast guests.
She loves it.
Yeah, forever.
No,
listen,
she's alive and well. She's fine.
Well, we don't know that for sure. Maybe she won't be by the time this comes out, which would be very sad.
It'd be a Christmas miracle.
Yeah. Well, so what a way to set up our current guest for success. Ladies and gentlemen, she is an actress. She's a comedian from the UCB Theater and from Second City Touring Company and from Canada. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Lisa Gilroy.
Hey.
Jingle bells, jingle bells. Oh, I should have brought my jingle bells
all the way. Jingle all the way. Sing your praise, Santa Claus. No, don't do that.
Lisa, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Oh my goodness. Take Thanks care. For having me. I'm glad that other girl couldn't make it so that you could have your second in line guest.
Hey, that other girl's family. No, you weren't a second in line guest. You were a first draft pick. I tell you that much. She blew it. She blew it.
She's dead to us and dead to
She truly went everyone. To Texas to work. Oh, no. She's
no,
not.
She, I like Stacey. She's in Texas. We miss her.
Yeah.
Anyway.
She worked for Beto, our next president.
We need... Whoa, really?
Probably.
Wow. Okay. Sorry. We need to move on.
I thought you were saying,
it's
well...
It's about you tonight. How are you doing?
I'm great. How's your heart?
Oh my gosh.
Wow, bringing it back. Okay.
Bringing back an old crappy segment that we dumped episodes ago. Just kidding. We do it every now and again.
Yeah.
No, I'm great. I'm like very happy to be here. I really feel the Christmas spirit for the first time today. Being
wow.
here with you guys.
Really? Mm-hmm. Just being in this environment? Is this my two pillar candles that I got from Trader Joe's?
Yeah, and you have like some Thanksgiving Christmassy food out.
pre-Thanksgiving.
PGG, yeah.
Yeah, and in Canada, like, it would be very snowy. Okay.
Here we go.
It's snowing
at my
right
old
now?
School.
Canada okay. be like. America be like.
Canadian Thanksgiving's like in July, right?
No.
I'm guessing.
Look.
Canadian
I'm just...
elections are every 6 years.
Everyone needs right. to shut up. I was just trying to pay you a compliment.
Oh, no.
I was just trying to say you guys are bringing me the joy of the Christmas spirit.
No, it doesn't
and now
sound
look
like
what
it.
You've done.
Sounds like we've made you a nasty little elf. Oh, no.
Were you about to say it's snowing where you live?
Well, yeah.
Right now?
And then so this is like the first time I've felt like cozy. It feels like it should be winter outside right
yeah.
now with how cozy we are. In
yeah. Here. And how dark it is outside, mm-hmm. too.
Mm-hmm. And for how ahead of schedule we're kind of recording these. We are. There is a bit of theater here like, yeah, it's Christmas season.
That's true.
I will say, though, everyone pisses and moans about like, oh, they play Christmas songs too early and stuff. I've not felt that this year.
No, not at all.
I've not felt the premature,
true,
like,
yeah.
oh, we don't need Mariah Carey. I'm like, yo, where's the Mariah Carey? Even yeah. like weeks and weeks out from technically Christmas season.
Yeah, to people like that, I'm like, just grow up, you know? Just enjoy it.
Yeah. Get a real
get
job.
Get on board.
Lisa, thank you so much for doing this show.
Happy to be here.
Do you know where Lisa and I met?
No.
At a little church. We
oh,
met
yes, that
at
is right.
church.
We did.
Through former friend of the show,
oh
Ego Lodum.
Also dead.
Also
dead.
Dead. R.I.P. Ego. No, she's literally...
Unfortunately, after doing the show, her career tanked and she has faded into obscurity.
Yeah, it's really sad.
And which is a shame because she was so nice and sweet. But we met through her. It was a mutual.
Yes.
And so our whole relationship in life is about church and
Wait,
Ego.
Wait, so you guys met like maybe... 2 months ago or whatever you went
yeah.
to
can
Mosaic?
We say the name
to
yeah.
Mosaic?
Yeah, it was
okay.
Mosaic.
Yeah, I feel like you
yeah.
weren't saying it
for oh yeah
reason,
I know
like... oh no.
Yeah,
yeah.
You weren't
okay. Well, we were both visiting, we're just checking it out,
but Mosaic is church to all the stars. And when
yeah.
I was there at the time after I met you, mm-hmm. guess who I was sitting beside?
Simply Bieber.
Simply guess.
No. Oh,
so close with Bieber, but Vanessa Hudgens.
Hudgens?
Whoa!
Oh, I could see it. Be- I like that character. That was shocked.
I was kind of shocked.
On Caroline's head. Whoa! Yeah, Yoko. That's like, this is a city folk at the church. Yeah, I think Mosaic would attract that sort of... I remember the guy who did announcements who was main pastor's son.
Yes.
He had paint splattered
yes.
on his pants.
Yes.
Cool. That,
that's a distinct...
That's really cool.
...memory I have.
Yeah.
So there's a fashion... And it's funny talking to people who just like... aren't a part of church culture at all, where like someone wearing what I'm wearing right now, which is just like jeans and a button-up shirt, would be kind of shocking to this person who's like outside of church. So they're like, oh, yeah, everyone wears suits, right?
Oh,
when
yeah.
you preach,
oh, right.
or you wear like the collar.
Yeah.
And so like even that, so.
It seems very
You
informal.
Know what shocks me about, actually, that I remember about that with mm-hmm. his paint pants, is that afterwards, do you remember we saw him talking to another man who was also wearing paint pants? And
what?
It looked like ridiculous.
Maybe they were talking about the accident that they were yeah. both a part of that caused
they
the spill.
They both were just like serving earlier that morning by like painting someone's
Whoa!
Home. For
and then it spilled over, got all over their
You're
calves.
Like, this looks cool.
But what is your background with faith? What's your history with religion or God or Christianity?
I didn't grow up in a Christian home. Mm-hmm. I hate to break it to you guys. Don't want to startle you.
Yeah, can you go? with a bread, with a mouthful of like bread.
but yeah, my parents didn't go. Nobody went. Not even like really the grandparents. Just a whole bunch of heathens. But then so weirdly, like as early as I can remember, I always was wondering about God. Like mm-hmm. I have journals even from like fourth grade, which in Canada we would say grade four. And
that's really cool.
Thanks, guys.
That rocks.
I like that.
Writing about like Buddhism and like Christianity and wondering all the questions. And I think
what was your exposure to it in the first? Was it just like through school or friends you had?
Well, I have family from Egypt, which does not look like I do, but oh, I do. Wow. My mom was born there and her side of the family is like Muslim. So that's kind of the only, I mean, like my grandpa on that side is like super Muslim.
Oh, wow.
So like okay. he has like the prayer alarm clocks that go off and all the things in yeah. his house.
There's prayer alarm. Is that standard issue for?
I don't know anything about it.
Well, you said the prayer alarm clocks, like,
know.
You know, the thing.
Well, I think
everyone...
a lot of Muslims do to like, it's like a call to prayer, like to I should not be talking about this
it's
at all. I know
system,
nothing about
not
it.
Not the actual appliance. It's important here.
The thing we can all agree on is that Egypt is in Africa. That's what we can all agree on.
I do know that. Oh, man.
But yeah, so there was that on that side. And then I grew up with a ton of Mormons, because in the prairies in Canada, where I'm from, there's a lot of Mormons in my city. So there was
what area is that?
It's Edmonton, Alberta.
Okay.
So, they were like a very tight-knit group, and they didn't drink Coca-Cola, and that like really stood out to me. I was like, oh, these people are doing something. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, you know, so that's a big choice.
Lisa gestured to me as if I'm a Mormon. Caroline just said the same thing.
Mormon adjacent some ways.
I think I am. Everyone from day one has made Book of Mormon jokes about me.
Well, with the exception of how much coffee you drink, because you love that Java.
Oh, because caffeine's the bad thing. Yes. Wait, what were you going to say?
Well, how come you didn't have Coke until you were 15 or 14, what you said?
I just didn't want it.
Until you're 22.
Well, that wasn't like parentally enforced.
No, they were like, it's bad for you. You can have it if you want.
Oh, that's great.
But they were like, no.
Weird. Okay.
So you're just like, you're just like a good kid.
I'm just naturally virtuous is the term. Yeah.
I see that.
I was ripping into sodas at like one.
You were shotgunning them right out of the womb. Your first teething was one of those
and
cans.
Everyone was like, this will rot you from the inside out. And I was like, more. Just kept going.
That makes sense, given your cat. Yeah. Hurting people.
Okay,
hurt people.
you were near all these Mormons that were like kind of in this group at school and stuff. Yeah. Okay.
And then we would like hang out when we were really little. And then when like fourth, fifth grade hit, I wasn't allowed to hang out with them anymore. Like,
really?
It was like the parents across the board. I had a few other like secular friends, and it was like we were all banned at once. So there was like no more sleepovers.
By the Mormon parents?
Yeah. So it was like only the Mormon kids could hang out with each other. So
oh,
I think that just looks
so sad.
I guess, but like from the outside, I was like, oh, whatever's going on in there, I want in. That looks so juicy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was like, what do they do? What are they doing over there? And they had like a big temple like right by my house. And I heard like even some of the Mormons aren't allowed to go in. I was like, whatever this exclusive club is, I'm loving it.
My primary impression of Mormons from high school, I hope this isn't disrespectful to say, but my primary impression of them was that they were all very attractive. There's a girl named Monica and a guy named Zach, and they were two of the most attractive kids in the theater department at Kingwood High School. I was like, Mormons got it going on.
Yeah.
I thought it was inherent to the faith, like it was a part of it.
And for me, the marker was sleeves. Like if you ever saw a girl in the summer wearing like a cap sleeves on a dress or
sleeves on their wedding dress, too.
Yes, sleeves.
Yeah.
That's like always
sleeves are really cool.
So, you know, cluster. But yeah, I thought the Mormon boys were really cute. I had a crush on some Mormon boys.
But it didn't work out.
Didn't work out.
And the forbiddenness didn't make it hotter, the crush?
I guess it did.
Like
but
a West Side Story, but no one ever like fights each other.
Yeah.
There's no violence.
And no one wins.
No one wins.
But yeah, so I just hung out with those guys momentarily. And then my parents sent me to Christian camp.
Oh.
And then later made fun of me for becoming a Christian.
Wow.
Yeah. So they sent me they sent me to a camp called Teen Time.
Oh, yeah.
Just for teens. I think I was probably only 11 when I went. So like kind of also not even a teen yet. And
nice.
They sent me because it's like it was the cheapest one. You know, like there's archery and canoeing and all that stuff. But it's like just happened to have these like biblical overtones.
So it's purely a budget issue.
Yeah. Truly.
Really?
Truly, yeah. So they sent me, they were, you know, my dad's like, go, I don't know, get in the lake, do some canoeing. And then
you can't go to atheist horse camp. It's too expensive.
Exactly. It really is, because, you know, the Christians want the children to come in.
Yeah.
So they like make it as affordable as possible. They need to hear the good news.
I feel like part of me, I mean, feels a little cynical about that. But part of me is like, that's kind of cool that it was like affordable, you know?
Yeah.
Like anybody
could
go, hopefully.
I mean, I probably wouldn't have gone to camp otherwise. So I'm
thankful
for it.
Camp is awesome.
Camp is so good.
So was it shocking to you of like how much Christian stuff was in there?
No, because I was so little. Like I think it was summer of just after fourth grade that I went for the first time. So I was still at the point in my life. And I had already, like I said, like I was already like a seeker. Like I was like a very like spiritual child. I was looking for answers already.
You were a little seeker. Why? Like what emotions did you feel that drove you to? There's got to be something more.
I know. It's very strange, right? It seems to me like a nature over nurture kind of thing almost. Because I don't remember ever a time being like that I didn't believe in God or I wasn't looking for God.
Interesting.
Even in my family where we never talked about it. Nobody was going to church, nothing. I knew I wasn't going to do a Mormon thing because I also felt like I wasn't invited and it was too late for me. So they built like just like a regular Christian church in my neighborhood when I was in fifth grade, and I like begged my parents to take me. And they're like, no, that's dumb. And I have like written in my journal, like I asked if I could go to church and they said no. They're holding me back.
Your parents sound like cool bullies.
They are very cool bullies. Yeah.
It's for nerds.
Yeah. So then I persuaded one of my friend's moms to take us, and we went, and I was like, and I was in Sunday school, and it was like Palm Sunday, I guess, because I remember we had big palm branches, wow, which like in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Oh yeah.
Those babies got shipped in.
Yeah, they shipped those out.
And we like made some sort of craft. And I remember feeling like this is pretty dumb, but I was still like, I feel spiritual.
Yeah.
So I went to camp, and then I heard, you know, at the campfire, we sang all the songs and like got to preach, I guess, preach for children. And I just was like, oh yeah, cool. I believe it. Awesome. I'm in, like, immediately. Cause you're a kid.
It was very casual.
Well, I guess not really, though. There was a lot of things that were like, and hell, and you need to be saved.
Oh, I see. You're skimming over.
Like, so, that stuff, you know, it wasn't, but I'm saying like my acceptance of it was very casual, because I was like, I'd already been so thirsty for it. And here was like an adult that was like, here's the thing.
It was so like inviting you too.
Yeah. So I was like, yes, I believe. Awesome. I'm in. Yeah. 100%. But then, yeah. And then I'd go back to school during the year and like forget all about it, or not know, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I was like a summertime Christian for probably like 10 years.
A summertime Christian. A fair weather, seasonal Christian.
Did you go
Christian.
With your friends too to this
I did, camp? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and we were like a bunch. There's the three of us girls that like stuck together. And we were a real crew. Like we, and also I was a very strange part of my life where they didn't believe at all and their families didn't believe at all. And I secretly was believing everything I was hearing, but like, I was just making fun of everyone and everything at camp every year, all the time. Like, wow. I have like home videos of me in like sixth grade being like, and the power of Christ compels you. And then we're like killing ourselves laughing because it's the stupidest thing ever. But like, then I would like go home at night and pray.
Oh, well, so you mean this podcast?
Yes, exactly. Yes. Which is why I was so relieved when I first heard this podcast for the first time, because I was like, there are others.
We're here.
Oh, that's fair. Oh, that's right. Because you heard it before we even met. Yeah. That was a very sweet thing you said. Yeah. That was very
nice. Because I think I listened to it because Ego was on it before I met you. Yeah, I really made fun of Christians for a long time. And I was like a secret Christian, like truly even up to this year. Like this is like, I've just been like talking about going to church publicly.
Yeah, well,
like,
what happened between then and this year? What was the like closeted experience or whatever you want to call it, where you were like,
you mean like what
underground with your faith?
Okay, well, let me tell you about being a closeted Christian. It means going to church on Sunday and not inviting anybody there to any of my comedy shows, and then going to my comedy shows and lying to people about where I was on Sunday morning. Like just truly. Yeah, like feeling for
a really big disconnect. Like it's tough.
Yeah, and feeling for a long time like too secular for church, but then too like Christian for comedy. Mm-hmm. Feeling kind of like I don't belong in either world.
Yeah,
and then
because you experienced that in comedy stuff where people would like kind of walk on eggshells too. Right?
Totally, and that's the most annoying thing.
Yeah, because they think you're like delicate. And this goes for men and women, but like they think you're a delicate little flower. Like, oh,
like,
we can't
hear a cuss word or something.
Can't put a dick joke in this.
Yeah. And I feel like I learned that super early on because, I mean, even back at this, I'm just having this realization now, but even back to like elementary school with the Mormon kids, we all like walked on eggshells around them. So I think maybe I just internalized that and I was like, well, I never want someone to treat me like that.
Mm. Yeah.
So I just never told anyone that that's.
What was like feeding your, this is such a cliche sounding thing, but what was like feeding your faith? Because it seems like there were a lot of things that were fighting against it, and even you and your own like disposition was kind of like, yeah, I hate this.
I'm right.
Yeah.
Well, I think I've been really lucky because I've always had like a few key friends at whatever church or whatever city that I was living in that I felt like were like me. Mm. So it's like, you know, we could see each other at church, but then, you know, also have like one too many beers on the weekend and laugh at, you know, just like people like me. So I found a few and I desperately clung to them. And
they knew both parts of you.
Yes. Yeah. So I always had people who knew the full me, but I felt like in, you know, for the general public, it was always like a bit of a charade.
Mm. Yeah. I understand that too. I think for a long time, I probably still like feel kind of embarrassed if I have to tell someone I'm a Christian, because there's all the assumptions that come with it, obviously. And it's just like, I don't have time to tell you that I'm like, I'm a Christian, but I'm not that kind of Christian.
I'm a cool Christian.
And also, I'm a cool Christian. And also, like, I'm like questioning things. You know?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
No one wants to hear
the asterisks and the kind of parsing that you have to do is as embarrassing.
Yeah,
as
it is. So it's
like,
easier just being like, yeah, I don't know. You know, a lot of the time.
It's so true. Mm-hmm. And also, like, I'm learning more and more that even since moving to LA, there's so many, you know, it's weird. Sure, it's weird to be a Christian. It's weird to go to church. But also half of LA is like charging their crystals in the moonlight. So what right. what are we hiding from? Like, it's just as ridiculous to say than anything else.
I didn't know moonlight could charge those babies. I've been doing it all wrong.
You've been doing it in the sunshine this
yeah,
whole time?
Yeah, you know, it was warm.
Oh, that's why your skin is looking like
you're right.
Like that.
My breath, my skin. Skin of Kevin? No, that's not it. Ugh. Yeah. And then, so was it kind of a slow process from there? Or
yeah, it was slow. I mean, I would say like it was mostly just, okay, so summertime Christian and also like bully of a Christian, like parody of a Christian, let's say also for a long time.
You were sarcastically praying, sarcastically lifting your hands in church.
Yeah. Yeah. No, truly, I remember like campfire. We had WOG at camp, which is Word of God. And we'd like go, and it was like campfire at night and sing the songs and whatever. And I would be standing with my girlfriends and we would be like shaking with laughter. If there was like any kids that were like crying or praying or like getting prayed for, oh yeah, we would like actively be laughing at
wow.
them. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
brutal.
I know. A real mixed up kid I was.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess it was just the sincerity of it that was scary, or like the vulnerability.
Yeah, I guess
I feel like it is funny.
That's when I mean, it's both though, because I feel like that's when I want to make fun of people is when I make fun of people the most that I'm afraid I most like.
Oh, right.
Oftentimes. So it's like, God, is that what I look like? You right. know, like there's something reflected in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And I think I've always had an issue with like when you see right. someone get really, really into it. So like crying or like lifting their hands or whatever. It's like, oh boy, if this whole thing is real, you're having a great time. And if it's not, you're a huge dum-dum. Like, you know, the more into it you get, the more it's like, okay, well, this is a bit of a gamble now because you're yeah. either like a huge idiot or yeah. this is great.
And that's biblical, right? The cross is folly to those who don't. Or what is it? Paul said... No, I'm quoting the wrong one. Paul
says, "I think the cross is folly." I think
that no, it doesn't end there. Paul says that if we're wrong about, basically, he says if we're wrong about this, then we're to be the most pitied out of everybody,
right.
like
okay.
not non-believers, okay. believe like people who believe that Jesus and God, blah 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 blah.
Because we look like such nerds. I think that's Philippians 2:7. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, and then you just live a whole life without dressing up for Halloween for no reason, yeah, and you're a big idiot, and we need to be pitied.
Did you do Halloween?
No, of course I did Halloween. Okay, I had, you know, my secular bully parents were like, yeah. "Be a demon."
No nerd daughter of mine's not gonna be a demon for Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah, my dad was Freddy Krueger for like 4 years in a row, so it's not that far off.
Thanks.
Somebody stop me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's his catchphrase.
Right.
Somebody stop me.
P-A-R-T. Why? Because I gotta.
It's like Jim Carrey. So what caused the change?
There's like two, well, the first change of taking faith more seriously was after that, like, 10 years of camp, of going every summer. Then I was too old to go to camp, right? Because then you're a big old kid.
How old were you? 18? Like, was it truly
yeah,
until high school?
The last year I went, yeah, I was like 16 or 17. Okay. So then, I think it was 16. So then, and then counselors were 17. So then what happened was they asked me to come back and be a counselor. And then that was the first time where I was like, oh shit, I better make up my mind about how I feel about this. Because there's going to be like little girls in my cabin and I have to actually lead them. And if they have questions, I have to answer them. Like, yeah. I have to know what's up.
And
if
not
I'm
laugh
do
at
this.
Them when they start crying about yeah. how beautiful
so I was
the
like,
Bible is.
I had to decide like...
Yeah, that's hard when a girl's confessing to you and you're snickering under your breath.
So yeah, I had to decide like whether I believed it or not. So I really took that seriously and I decided like, yes, I believe it. And I'll show up for them and I'll... And so I think it was just that, like, stepping into that, like, leadership and growing up a little bit mm-hmm. and, like, owning it more.
Yeah.
And then I started taking it more seriously. And then I started actually going to church, which I had never really done before. So then, yeah, I started going when I was about 17 or 18. Yeah. And then lived that, like, weird double life for a while.
So 2018 happens. What inspires you to be more open about your faith?
I think in large part, I just got tired, you know, and, like, I'm getting older. You guys can tell I'm wearing my witch's robe and my long gray hair.
People can tell by your craggly old voice the years have not been kind to you.
I'm wondering why you wear that.
But yeah, I think it just like, and moving here too, you know, like I moved last year and...
From Canada to Los Angeles.
Yes. Oh yeah. From Toronto. And I think like I got a chance to like start over fresh with people, you know, because it's kind of hard. I mean, when if you've been living that way for so long and you're friends with someone for like 6 years and then suddenly you want to tell them like, oh, yeah, I go to church every Sunday. Like that seems like really weird. So I started over again here and then, you know, you can meet people again and just be a bit more honest. Although I didn't do that when I first moved. I could feel myself starting to do the thing again where I was lying to people about what I was doing and who I was with and what's going on. But then I just got tired and I just said, you know what? My 20s are almost over and I need to like own what I believe and stop being so embarrassed and apologizing for myself all the time.
You felt that was the case before, that you were kind of like apologizing.
It was exactly what you guys said of like, if you tell someone you're a Christian, it comes with this whole caveat of like, but it's only like this and my family's not Christian and I still drink and I say fucking shit and piss. And I also, like, you know, like I'm tired of explaining. I just, especially when I came to LA, that was a big eye opener seeing how many people are into so many weird things that I'm like, it's no different. You put your faith in whatever, like the universe or whatever. It's not any less crazy to believe in God.
Right. Sure.
It's just as crazy to believe in anything at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe there was like, did anyone react like the way you thought they would when you would tell them?
You mean like in a judgmental way?
Yeah.
Lots of times that's happened to me. Yes.
Oh, that sucks.
So that's, it just kept burning me over and over again that, and I would care so much. So especially in the comedy world, you know, because it's just hard. And you know, Christianity, we have all these like negative connotations of we're like dumb people, racist people, homophobic people.
Right, yeah.
And in the comedy world is so liberal and we're like attacking all of those issues. So if you, I just feel like it's particularly susceptible to criticism in the comedy world.
Yeah.
And a lot of my friends are
be like,
comedians.
What? I thought you were one of us. Like,
exactly.
What is this?
So the negative reactions that I've gotten are from comedians who are like, can be really harsh too.
Yeah.
You know?
And maybe you aren't even like aware that there's this like spectrum that you could be on, you know, or whatever, or that you're still the same person.
Yeah. Like literally the responses that I've had sometimes are like, wait, what the fuck? Why? Like, yeah. And then I'm
oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's kind of a nightmare.
That hurts.
Yeah.
That sucks.
So, but now I feel like I have a bit of a thicker skin and I'm just, and the last time that somebody responded to me like that, I was like, would you say that to me if I was Muslim? Like if I was just a Muslim woman and I told you that, you know, that would never, ever, ever, ever happen, ever.
Yeah. Well, I think everyone, I don't want to sound like, you know, this Christians, like Christians are the most persecuted or whatever. But I think in America, like everyone kind of feels like they own Christianity a little bit because we're all like, for the most part, exposed to it at some point or other, like more or less, I feel like, or I guess in Canada too, just like people have familiarity with it. And so there isn't this like stigma where you sound racist or like ignorant by saying like Christianity has a lot of problematic beliefs or whatever.
Right.
You know?
And it is divergent from other religions and religious texts in that it is shared by the common like national imagination in a way that the other religions are not.
Yeah. Right. So, where if you were like picking on someone who is Muslim, it's like, well, you're already picking on someone that's like had a tough time.
Right.
Sure. Whereas like Christians, you know, you're kind of punching up.
Yes,
like there's just so many.
It's kind of punching up.
Yeah.
And there's a base level of politicians always have to pretend at least that they believe in God. Like an atheist will probably never be elected president in our lifetime, or an open atheist will never be elected president in our lifetime. And the idea of like, well, I don't know what the Quran says, but I know basically, like I know the Jonah
enough
and the whale
the Bible
stuff
to know that's bullshit.
Yeah, everyone does feel like it's almost like the difference between like crapping on a movie that's Star Wars or not Star Wars, where it's like, I feel like I get Star Wars because we've all seen it. It's super popular. So I have opinions about
And like Star Wars won't be hurt by like Caroline being out here and being like, I don't like it.
Right.
It will like power on and steamroll forever. They'll be fine.
So yeah. So you feel good about it now? And
I feel pretty good. I mean, I'm here. That's a start, right?
You mean on the podcast?
Yeah,
this is actually probably kind of like a very big declaration in some way.
Yeah, it's kind of a 180.
All those strangers out there.
Right.
A lot of them.
It's so funny because like I was reading, there's this book called The Happiness Equation, and he talks about how there's like these three stages of accepting whatever. So the first, if you have something that you're like trying to accept, so it's like hide, apologize, embrace. So the author used this example that he went to Harvard and he's always been embarrassed embarrassed of it, which is kind of silly, but he always like worried that it made him sound pretentious or whatever. Mm-hmm. So then people would ask him where he went to school, and instead of saying the name of the school, he'd wait, is Harvard in Boston?
Yes.
Wait.
Okay. Yes.
I get Harvard and Stanford.
I mean,
every
technically
time.
Cambridge, but yes.
It's okay. In, so yes. I can say Boston.
Yeah. So he would
okay.
say the school in Boston.
Yeah. He would just say,
I'm keeping
oh,
all
I
this
went.
In.
He would just say, oh, I went to Boston. So that was like the first year of his like post grad life of just was Hyde that yeah. level. And then it went to apologize where people would say, oh, where'd you go? And he would say, oh, I went to Harvard, but it's not like my family's loaded or and I didn't really do like a crazy degree or like all this stuff. And he would, it would make it weird.
Sure.
And then the last one is accept where he would just say Harvard. And he wrote in the book how like, the first two were, made it so weird, and the last one was so normal. People would just be like, "Oh, cool." So that like seeing those stages, I feel like I'm going through that. Hide, yeah. apologize, accept.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm just like, I'm here. Fuck it, take it or leave it. I'm a cool Christian.
Yeah, I'm a cool Christian. My right. name is Lisa Gilroy, and I am a cool Christian.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. My name is Kevin Porter, and I'm a cool Christian.
Boo.
I know. It's not possible for me.
No, I'm kidding.
You a biblical literist?
What?
You mean literalist?
Wait, did I say literist?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Well, I'm cutting that out. No, I can't. Are you guys biblical literalists, though? Like,
no.
Like,
no.
Not at all?
No.
But wait.
Like, none of it's true?
No, I okay. Well, we're talking about two different things now.
Okay.
Let's split some hairs. Okay, we have, I know, I actually don't know which one it is, but I know there's inerrancy and an infallibility.
Oh my God, you guys are so much more Christian
than
me.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
What do these words mean?
Okay. One of them means that you think that the Bible is the literal word from God, straight from God's mouth onto the paper. And so everything that is in there is like historical and true and happened.
Mm-hmm.
And also that there's no error in there at all. So like if you believe this part, you have to believe this part and everything. And then I think infallibility is humans wrote this book. And so there may be some gray spots that, where we don't have to follow this to the letter, basically.
Oh.
People are like raging at their laptop or whatever right now.
Unsubscribe.
Yeah. You don't need to email me about it. I'll look it up later. But anyway, so yeah. Which one are you? No, I'm kidding. You don't answer that. It's fine. But I think I'm, this is a shock to no one, but I think I've fallen much more into the like, this is a book that's filled with wisdom. There's a lot right. here. I don't believe everything is literally true or yeah. or that all of it is good. Like I think there's a lot of genocide, there's a lot of rape that's sanctioned in the Bible and stuff like that, and I don't have to take that in and say it's
got
good.
Time for that.
No, I have time for that. No, thank you.
Yeah, no, I think that's pretty much, you know, I would agree.
Was your, yeah,
because I mean even look at my
Welcome
faith, obviously
cool
I'm not
club.
A very like I'm not a very stark Christian either, so I can believe that there's people like me in the Bible that were like saw Jesus do some stuff but then also didn't really know, you know, like
sure,
we're just
yeah. Yeah, but
or
I don't,
that
song
do some stuff and then got some of the details wrong is what
right,
you're saying?
Right. What? Or, you know, or like we also have the tendency to run the other way to be like, oh, well, this is this. You know, I'm sure some people wrote some things in the Bible that are like, never, ever do this or don't do that. And they're just people who are making up their own stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so, too.
It's all literally true. Let's dive in. Thanks for sharing your
yeah,
story, by
the way.
Yeah,
thank you so
way. Much. Oh, boy. Amy Grant, Home for Christmas. Christmas music, Christmas traditions. Lisa, what were yours growing up? What were some albums that were always on at Christmas time in the Gilroy household?
Yeah, always Bing Crosby.
Oh, yeah.
The bully of crooners, which is why your parents loved him.
I don't know what the album is, but it's just his head. Like,
yeah.
just cut out his head.
He's wearing disgusting. A Santa hat.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
And I think it's just truly like a white background and just his head.
I think that's maybe from White Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
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 Which is a song he sang and then a movie he was in that they just made a movie around that song.
And that's the
that
best
song.
White Christmas one, too, isn't it? Wait.
Yeah.
What am I? Is that the one that's like, ba-doom, ba-doom, ba-bop? No, that's a different one.
No, I think that's it. I'm dreaming of a white ba-doom.
Friends, there's an easy
Christmas,
way to.
No, I like my
oh,
way
yeah.
better.
Oh, this is it. This is Bing, yeah.
Ooh, this
oh,
guy.
This brings
right
me
here.
Back. There it
there
is.
It
look
is.
At that.
White
yeah.
Christmas, Bing Crosby. Yeah.
Yes.
Have you okay. ever watched White Christmas?
Jingle Bells on this album is my favorite because the girls are so cracked out in it. They're all just like, Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells.
The Andrews Sisters.
It's just so nuts. When they get in there, oh yeah. Wow, Kevin, you're great. You're on it.
It's the one thing I bring to this show. Okay, what else? What were some other staples?
Christmas music wise?
Alvin and the Chipmunks, did that get spins?
The Chipmunks?
Yeah, you said the Chipmunks.
Sorry.
What a loser.
I was thinking about those super hot Chipmunks in the new movies.
How they're just packing ass on those Chipmunks.
A is for ass.
There's a pretty great article going around about a squirrel with large breasts in Japan.
That's really funny.
It's true.
They're probably tumors. Does that make you sad now?
Are you really into it?
No, look, here. I haven't seen
it. Yeah, it's your background.
No, it's not.
And there's like flames around her.
Change wallpaper. Alvin and the Chipmunks. Damn it. Striking left and right tonight on the Good Christian Fun Podcast.
You're doing great.
Oh, boy.
I like the Chipmunks soundtrack.
I don't, you know what? I'm kind of panicking over here because I truly think Bing Crosby's the only Christmas album we had
ever
and listen to
ever,
like, I and then, you know, I got an iPod, and so then I would just like make a playlist.
Yeah, it was your own thing.
That was, yeah, and then I would play it in the house and whatever, but we didn't. I think that's like pretty much the only like solid album that we'd listen to.
I'm gonna say something super old man. I think the period in which we listened to music on iPods before streaming was the best period of music ever.
It was so thrilling
because it was the most functional while still being personal. Caroline's dying. I'm sorry you can't listen to Lauren Daigle's album on an iPod in 2003.
I love Daigle.
But I even remember
we should do our segment.
Oh, man. I even remember having like an MP3 where you could only have like 7 songs on it or 9 songs dumb. And I cherished them. I cherished those songs.
You had to make choices. It was personal.
Yes.
No one could creep in on you and see what you were listening to on the feed and send you screenshots that were super doxy. You know, on
Something
Spotify.
Happened to you?
Nothing happened.
I had the long skinny one. I think it was the Shuffle before they made it even smaller.
A long skinny.
Yeah, I think that was a like, Nano.
Oh, Nano. Yeah. I think someone gave it to me or like it fell off a truck somewhere or whatever. I did not buy it for myself. I
like
remember
the Christmas
that.
Shoes.
Yeah, and all I had on there was like Nelly Furtado and Rufus Wainwright, like over and over, and I was like real moody about it.
Yeah, I also think maybe you're getting confused with the time that there was those iPods is also the time in our lives when music meant more to us than ever before.
That's also true. Yeah, I think every person alive thinks the best time in their life was like 17 through 22.
Yeah, I think that's a chunk of it too.
Yeah, it's a little recency bias or whatever the opposite of recency bias is. I guess that's nostalgia. But yeah, but that was maybe my favorite Christmas gift I ever got. That was like a gift. Was like iPod.
An iPod? Oh, yeah.
Because that really got me to like, okay, I don't know music at all. How do I get music? You know, and that really inspired me to look for new stuff because it was like, I don't know how to fill
to listen
60
to something.
Gigs.
Yeah.
How do I fill? 60 gigs felt incalculable at that time. Oh, wow. Boy.
It's like 5 CDs.
But suffice to say, Amy Grant, I believe we had one of her albums. I think it was the 3rd Christmas album.
Not
though.
This one?
She has 4.
Yeah. Wow.
This is the 2nd of 4
and
thus far.
This one is like the one, right?
It's the big boy.
Yeah.
It's number 18 best selling Christmas albums of all time.
That seems goodness. Wrong.
It yeah. sold like, 3 million copies.
That's crazy.
She
that's
was hot
so
shit.
Crazy.
Because, okay, I've never listened to Amy Grant before this.
Neither
so
did I.
I only know that one song. There's a song that she does called Emmanuel. It's not from this album.
It's from the first Christmas album.
Okay, because that song is dope. Have you ever heard it? It's like
we listened to it on the show.
Wait, I don't remember it, though.
It's the one that's like, Emmanuel. Oh, my
oh
God,
yes.
Kev, you're so fast. It's about so good.
Comfortable council.
Yes.
And you'll remember this album cover is like the kind of stressed out mom on the ski trip.
Yes.
Like, guys, we have to get
in the
car.
Okay, take a picture
now.
And then we need to go.
Lord of all. He is the Prince of Peace, mighty God, only one.
Emmanuel. Yeah, I remember liking that song.
That's a banger.
Yeah, it's a bop.
But that was the only thing I knew of hers. And then this album is actually pretty good, but. Also, one song on it, Amy Grant's not even singing. That, like, Jesu.
No.
It's just well,
it's an instrumental.
You're talking about the instrumental? Well, guys, I don't know if you know this, but she played all the instruments by herself.
No, she didn't.
Yeah, listen to this.
She's doing all
no,
of that.
No, she didn't.
She's layering it on
talent.
Top.
She's amazing. She's a virtuoso. She's okay, like the Paul McCartney of CCM.
When I heard this, I was like, oh, this sounds like a Michael W. Smith jam right here. Mm-hmm. I'm wearing him on my shirt right now.
Michael W. Spiff.
Spiff on the spliff.
Spiff and the chipmunks.
Michael W. Spliff. And a bud to bud forever. That's something. That's something.
Good. That is something.
But I thought he would have written this song or something because he's really into doing.
Well, isn't this
things,
like?
But he didn't write anything on it.
Isn't this like Bach?
It's Johann Sebastian Bach.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't say the full name.
Yeah, thank you.
Bach. Okay, but
Bach. Put respect on his name.
How do we? How does she get to have this on her album?
I was thinking about that too, and it's the last song, right?
It is the song. Capper, the closer,
the last track. I don't know. Like, I feel like for her, it was just. Like her walkout music, like at the
it
end of the
like
concert.
It's like the end credits of the movie
exactly.
just did for us.
And probably she just like loves it. I do like this kind of Celtic like yeehaw moment right here.
Celtic, I love Celtic yeehaw music. Yeah, it's
you
like
know
Titanic.
Those Celtic cowboys.
Titanic
yes.
in the bottom of the ship when they're spinning around.
They're about to bone.
Okay.
I just don't get more how you can legally do that. Like, can I just have an album that's like Christmas by Lisa Gilroy and it's just people that aren't me? That makes no sense.
I don't know. She's Amy Grant.
I guess. Anyways, so that was the only track I had an issue with.
I do like the idea that a track that doesn't feature the singer at all is like a violation.
It seems like her name is on the cover of the...
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I guess I've never thought of it that way.
Did she have a writing credit on that song at all?
No. I looked. She has nothing.
Interesting.
It'd be hilarious if she did. It was co-written by Bach and Amy Grant.
You know what? Knowing Amy, I bet it was like... It's like a friend who was going through a hard time, and she's like, listen, you're going to get some royalties now, and you guys have a nice Christmas.
Hey, Bach Estate, this one's for you.
Yeah,
it's like what they do with Beyonce albums now, where there's like 12 credited writers on every song, and then and Beyonce is one of them.
Yeah, exactly.
She probably just did like a, hey.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Weirdly, songwriting credits now are more complicated and longer because everyone's trying to make up for the sins of before, where like bands would write songs together, and like a guy would do a bass part, and it's like the signature bass part of the song. But then we'd get no credit, no songwriting royalties. We'd get screwed forever. Like, you know, like the Wrecking Crew and the Motown, the Stack stuff. So now, that's why there's like 15 writers
on
every
pop song.
Make sure
everyone gets their slice of the pie.
Yeah.
I've never noticed that. I would never look at who wrote a song ever.
You wouldn't look at it, but they would look at their checks in the mail.
Right.
It's more about that than
anything. No, but I mean, like, I'm surprised that you are looking at all the... people who are credited on songs.
Oh, like a maniac.
Yeah,
just
you knew
every
Kevin,
night.
You would not be surprised. Actually, I like that about you, and I feel like I check song credits more now because I'm thinking about that. I'm like, oh, I wonder how many people got involved in this, and like who's
yeah. Who's it the songs like movies, they tell two stories. There's the story of the song, and then the story of the making of the song.
What's that ring you have in your hand?
Oh, this is a
Did
promise
that
ring.
Your headphones?
It's huge,
and it's a promise to die a virgin loser.
Did a giant die and give that to you?
A napkin ring. Oh, it fell off your head.
You know, it's a ring that goes on the top of these microphones, but there's just an extra one. In the bag, as I am very extra.
Enjoy it while you can.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. So, Emmanuel, in contrast with the rest of this album, I feel like that's a good kind of case study. First album's a little more rock and roll. There's some traditionalist stuff on there. But this album is mostly like adult contemporary
right.
life.
Yes, classics.
Mom
yes.
proof
yes,
all the mom. Way. Which again is not a dig.
Although my Moms favorite one on the album is Emmanuel again. It's the Emmanuel, what's it called? Oh, Emmanuel no. God With Us?
Oh, yeah, yes. yeah, yeah.
It's a bit of a banger. Listen to this. Like, beat is very saucy. There's a lot of like drums and stuff.
Yeah.
And like maracas.
Yeah. yeah.
Is Amy Grant the original Celtic woman, you guys?
Wow.
Yeah, this is pretty good.
Yeah, so I think there's only like three original songs on the album.
I like when people put the originals in there.
Oh, also, I have a huge issue with these lyrics. Because later she goes like... We breathe the air. It's the next verse, but she goes like... China dolls, candy corn. What? And you're like, what? Have you ever had a Christmas before?
She says candy.
Maybe she was hanging out with Alanis Morissette. Hang on.
Oh, I did not catch this.
Okay. Evergreen, there's pine
sure,
trees.
Sure, that's very Christmassy.
Christmas is red and green. Little kids.
Oh, listen to this too. The old ones make up stories of
how that's it your used grandfather to be. Torturing you with Vietnam stories.
Here it comes. This is it. China doors. Mm-hmm. Candy corn. Also wooden.
Painted wood. You know, some singers, they put a little accent
yeah,
when they.
It's a choral value.
It's like a little.
Vowels.
Choral vowels.
Choral vowels.
Choral vowels.
China dolls and candy corn.
That's what
Amy
Grant
what
thinks
is going
Christmas.
On.
Jack-o'-lanterns, eggy hunts,
pizza pretzels, too.
Hearts, cars.
Banana bread.
Four-leaf clover. Banana bread.
There's nothing to do with it.
She's like, you know, Christmas.
Traditions.
Anyways, Emmanuel.
Very chilled out. Okay, so the big the big original song, the aforementioned Breath of Heaven.
I hate the song.
You hate it?
It's too spooky.
I like how spooky it
is. I can't stand it.
Hey.
I'm kind of with you.
If the Holy Spirit impregnated you, you'd be spooked.
Yeah, that's
I promise you that.
I don't like to think about that. That's,
holy.
I skipped this. As soon as I heard this like diddly piano, I skipped it. I don't think I've ever listened to the full song because I don't like a Christmas song to be spooky.
All right, saddle up. Get ready to get sad.
I love it. It tells it from her perspective.
From Mary's perspective.
Yeah. So there's a line in here even. There's a line in here that I really appreciated. Sorry, I'm looking at my Bart's Not Dead notes. Do you wonder as you watch my face if a wiser one should have had my place? But I offer all I am for the mercy of your plan. Help me strong. Help me be. Help me. I'm a virgin loser.
Help me. I'm a virgin loser.
Yeah, but just that idea of like, oh, do you wish I was someone else? Almost like the insecurity of being in a relationship of like, am I good enough for
right.
you?
Never but, felt that way.
Okay.
I guess I never thought about that. But still, like, throw some jingle bells on there and make it an upbeat song.
It is surprising, yeah, that this became like one of her signature songs.
It
in
is?
A way. And it's supposed to be a Christmas song, yeah.
And a signature standard Christmas. Listen, okay. And
I sang this in choir.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
It's all over. It is like a new...
But wait, Christian school choir?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so like there was a lot lined up.
Yeah, people don't know about this song, I feel. It's not like a Christmas hit.
I don't know. Think so. I can't tell.
I think it's a Christian Christmas hit, for the most part.
I can't tell.
I literally can't tell. In my research, found out a couple things that made me warm up to this song. Just a little bit.
Okay.
So another guy wrote it originally.
She wrote it in 5 minutes.
Whoa.
Took a long time.
And... she heard it. She wanted it for her album. She asked him, and he was like, okay. And she's like, I actually really want to change some of the lyrics and make them a little bit more personal. And he was like, well, I don't know about that. And then she convinced him. And he said, just for this version, I'll let you put a different lyric on there. And she said, well, you couldn't possibly have written the lyric I'm thinking of because I'm going to write it from a woman's perspective.
Hey.
And she was pregnant at the time.
Oh, wow.
That she was singing this and writing it, which made it that much more meaningful
to me.
She
had a huge load she was bearing.
That's what you call it when you have to go number two. I'm pregnant.
Oh, my gosh.
So that made it like a little bit more touching to me. Like, she was pregnant. She was really feeling, maybe she was feeling very close to Mary at this time in her life and decided to write a real drip of a song.
Wow. Okay, that makes me feel a little
I don't
bit
think
better.
It's a drip. I like it. And you
she
know,
she said a lot of people relate to it. And then sometimes when she sings it in concert, she can't get through it because of the collective pain she can feel in the crowd.
Okay, let's talk about this for a second. Because Amy, speaking of collective pain.
Uh-oh.
Grown up Christmas list, that song.
Oh.
I mean, is this not the most smug song you've ever heard? It almost seems like a diss track. To like Christina and Britney and every woman who's ever and Mariah, anyone who's ever sung about how they want
fun Christmas songs.
This is 1992. They weren't around for her to diss yet.
Okay, but do you know what I mean? It seems like she's flying in the face of every woman who's ever asked Santa for a boyfriend. She's like, oh, excuse me, Santa, I have a grown-up Christmas list,
sorry,
and it's for
I have
world
kind of
peace.
Like an important one.
Yeah, sorry.
I didn't take it as a shot across the bow to women at all.
Oh no, I mean I don't mean that literally, but it just the song seems so like if this girl was at the party, you'd be like, okay, we get it, Amy, you want
world peace for Christmas.
Yeah, actually, it's like someone. Yeah, or you're like, what do you want for your birthday? And they'd be like, oh, can you actually donate to a charity shelter?
Yeah, get out of here.
I see it more as a story of a troubled woman who, one, thinks Santa is real, and two, thinks Santa can do everything that she's asking of him.
Right.
Has the power to heal the world as she describes.
Wow, try giving that power to Jesus for once, Amy.
Hey.
Damn, Amy.
Wow. The music video for this song is a gem. It is her kind of fumbling around a really nice house that cuts to shots of children holding candles. The children look very scary. It's a very scary music video. They stare at the camera. Some of them are smiling and they're very cute, but there's more than a handful of children. Yeah, that kind of look like Caroline's looking right now. They're
show
just
me Caroline.
Like,
oh, nervous. Very yeah, nervous. Scared.
That look like they're about to burn that bitch to the ground. That's
yikes.
What it looks like. So, yeah. Highly recommend people
Amy's,
check out the
Amy's
the music
videos are always a trip.
Yeah,
it's like
journey.
It's a very like Miss America pageant sounding kind of song.
Oh, yes, it is.
You know, and so there's yeah. like there's like a sweet sentiment here. It's no more lives torn apart, no more wars. Heal our hearts that everyone would have a friend and right would always win. Love would never end.
Wait, that the right would always win?
Says, and that the right is capitalized and it's in red. There's a donkey next to it.
A donkey, which is confusing because that's the Democratic symbol.
Oh, whoops. Well,
Amy's not the smartest.
Amy's not, well, Mary came in on a donkey.
Oh, that's what
that's
she was
what
thinking.
About. That's what
about. Amy, we saw your lyrics, your handwritten lyrics, a lot of confusing mixed metaphors in there.
Some of the words are just pictures.
I guess that's something for y'all to think about.
A little pictionary telephone with Amy Grant. What was your favorite of the classic, the standard Christmas songs on the album?
I like I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Sure, it's a very classic.
It's a classic. Although it's a bit confusing because I'll Be Home for Christmas. You can count on me, sure, okay. Counting on you, ready for you to come home. I'll Be Home for Christmas, if only in my dreams. But wait, are you coming home for Christmas
masterful
or are you not?
Full twist ending. That's an occurrence of Owl Creek Bridge in a Christmas song where it's just like, JK, I may not get there.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It was written in World War II and I think it was supposed to be like soldiers dreaming about Christmas.
Caroline, you're really turning me around on every song.
Yeah, you're
here.
Like kind of mean.
And did you know it was written in 5 minutes by a soldier?
Whoa. Oh, that's actually really sad. I didn't know it was a war thing.
Yeah, and that's why it's like, I'll be home, and it's describing all the like wonderful things.
Oh no!
That's gonna be actually if you.
It makes sense.
Ever
at least
get the
it
chance,
doesn't respect the troops. Yeah. It makes total sense.
You hate the troops, huh? If you watch Bing Crosby's White Christmas, he's like from the war, and that's when he first sings it, which is kind of funny because he's supposed to be like a young soldier, but he's definitely like 45.
Oh really?
Like singing for
I'll
his,
to watch
for
it.
His gang.
And I thought this was a little far, but when Amy Grant put out the music video where she was dressed up as a soldier and there was like bombs going off in slow motion behind her, I thought it was in poor taste.
She's snipering like a bunch of people.
American Sniper, colon Amy Grant. Oh boy, rocking around the Christmas tree. Least favorite.
Really?
Least favorite, but it is so dinky.
Well, you mean her version or the song in general?
Her version's fine. I like the little vocal inflections, the dum 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 ah. But like just as a song, is my least favorite of these Christmas songs.
Well, I also feel like after was it Brenda Lee that did it before? Or it's like that's like the Home Alone version.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if someone does it that good, just don't bother.
Yeah, it's like all I want for Christmas is you. You can't redo that.
Yeah, I feel a lot about a lot of Christmas music. It's like. This wasn't necessary.
That's how I feel about art.
I didn't
art.
Need your take on it.
I think we should stop making art.
Yeah, that's
2019.
Do you want to hear my favorite lyric?
Yes.
Then you're going to need to play The Night Before Christmas. And if you can get to the like the third stanza.
Is it you don't have to be an angel to sing harmony?
If your heart's been longing, you've been afraid to try. Sorrow's kept you. And the dance has passed you by. I'll lift you up and blaze with you
across the moonlit sky. Stupid. Hey, did somebody say my name? It's me, Michael W. Spliff.
Michael W. Spliff.
Wow, we have a new character for our
Thanks
SNL
audition
reels.
Thanks for knowing
where
I was going, Lisa. Paying attention.
Oh my God.
I'll lift you up and blaze with you.
I was like, all right.
Mystery.
That's so good.
It's
I've
a
never
Carly
blazed.
Simon song.
Oh, I saw that on the
Oh my gosh,
page.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. My mom loved Carly Simon, so I listened to a lot of her.
I think also it's funny that she says you don't have to be an angel to sing harmony, because it's like, Amy, yeah. No one thought that you did. Like, I feel like someone was listening to her sing, and she was like, you guys, don't worry. I mean, you don't have to be an angel to do what I'm doing.
No, I could never do what you're
self-conscious,
doing.
I'm not an angel. Great.
I know I'm an angel.
So I did, as I try to do with a lot of these Amy albums, I did do a deep dive on YouTube of covers for them. I sent a couple to Caroline before I realized the limits of her patience for me. And then I started sending them all to Ross Kimball.
Oh.
Yeah, but the thing is, you were asleep. Maybe if you were awake, it'd be different.
Yeah.
But waking up to 7 texts from me is has been described as stressful. But I sent a bunch to Ross. Some of them include Kelly Clarkson. Does a pretty badass cover.
Cover of what?
Of Our Hope.
Wait, oh. Many more. Oh, a live version.
Yeah, that's from 2016, so she was singing on that tour.
Nice.
And there's some big names. There's a worship band in Brooklyn called the G-Sus Band, which is like the G suspended chord, but it's really good. It was a really good cover. But here's where it gets good, guys. It's like once you get past that initial barrier of like celebrities and like, you know, the stuff with like 5-figure view counts, once you get in those couple hundred or even the 2 digits on the view counts, that's where stuff gets pretty good.
2 digits.
Yeah, baby. I'm talking about...
oh my God, what?
What is happening?
Do you need to tell the listeners what's happening?
This is, we're watching a mime performance at a...
But also, one guy's dressed as a mime church. And the other one's just dressed as a normal person.
So one's kind of isolated from the other, you know, the way Joseph must have felt.
This is insane.
Isolated
oh,
from
no,
Mary.
I hate this.
Oh, they're traveling
this is
together.
At a church for sure, right?
Wait, yeah. One is a woman.
Right.
Oh, okay.
No.
This is great. So
my outfit.
Oh no, I hate this. I hate this.
There's one.
Wait,
there's
do
a.
It. Wait, don't let it stop.
They do a really realistic mime of when she delivers the baby.
For real?
Yeah, like, and they really mime all the stuff that comes out really well.
So this is like a worship, like interpretive worship. Oh no, I actually hate this. This is what makes me sad.
What are you doing?
This is when
expecting
I think about my like 12-year-old self and I'm like, I'm so sorry I chose to believe in this. But I'm still going to church actively every Sunday in spite
They're
of things like this.
So into it.
Well, and this is when I think I'm no less but no more talented than these people. And the art that I make is no better or no worse than the art that these people make.
Right.
It's not sign language like that she's doing. Yeah.
It's like interpretive dance, basically.
Oh. It does
look vaguely... I think there's some sign language in there. I would think like 1 out of every 10 words is being hit.
Oh.
Human video genre of Christian performances at churches. It's a sweet meeting of mime... The art of mime, the art of dance, and the art of the lip sync battle all in one.
It's tough watching this because it's so bright on stage.
It's so bright on stage.
It's completely lit.
And yeah, we don't know how many people are there, if any people
could
are there.
Be no one because there's, yeah, but there's like a lot of equipment on stage.
I mean, I'm the most upset by there's the one man in full mime, red suspenders, black and white striped shirt, painted face, hat, slacks, everything. And then this girl's just wearing jeans and a t-shirt.
Maybe
this
that's traditional mime gender
roles.
I bet he didn't
tell her. Just showed up. That's messed up.
It's a big
and they're playing just wow
difference.
Gavin, thank you, that was a good find.
The Atlanta concert ringers I would recommend too. That's a band of women who play bells.
Ooh,
doing
yeah,
it
that's
breath
cool.
of heaven, very good.
I like bells,
but I won't spend any time playing that. Any other songs we want to talk
there was
about?
One that had a big instrumental flourish on it. Joy to the World.
Oh yeah,
I
this
really
is very
like this
cinematic
one. Yeah,
me too.
This one's fun.
It makes me feel like I'm in a movie when I'm listening to it.
Come round, children. I have something to say.
Yeah.
The mayor of town has declared Christmas year long.
Christmas year long?
Hey. Christmas show some respect long. To your mayor.
Boo, you're dumb.
I know.
The mayor puts on his promise ring. Hey, if you're listening, you have a promise ring. Take it off and send it to us. Yeah, but hey, do you find this to be disrespectful because it's instrumental and she's not in it yet?
She's in it in the, after
but
like
she's
a
in
minute
it later. Yeah,
so oh, sure. She's still in
I,
it.
Actually, I find it disrespectful because there's like a really good choir on this, and then Amy Grant is just singing like Amy Grant on top of them.
Yeah.
And with all of this instrumental and everything, I was like, this is way too poppy for this situation. You're tarnishing the vibe.
It's a genre clash.
Yeah, I didn't
know. Caroline
that
is nothing if not traditionalist when it comes to these arrangements.
I like
arrangements.
Everything in a box.
You like things segregated? Is that how you'd describe it?
Separate but equal.
Oh, God.
But Caroline, you're like an actual choir angel.
I am a choir angel. Yeah, I think that's why.
So that's why you, because I did not notice that.
I did choir.
Well, Jesus. Okay, now, speaking of Amy's voice, I'm not going to play them, but I did watch some more recent videos of her performing a lot of these songs.
Oh, okay.
Because she does that tour with Michael W. Smith every year.
Yeah.
Oh, they are truly two friends.
They are two best buds.
Wow. Yeah.
So I will say her voice has deteriorated.
Oh, no.
Over time.
How old is she now?
She's like 57.
She smoke?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, no. She's not a smoker, but she's smoking.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, and when she sings songs like even Breath of Heaven, as long ago even as like 2010, it looks like kind of a struggle when she does it. Modern era. Now, given the opportunity, would I go see her in a heartbeat and probably cry when she came out? Sure.
Yeah.
But like viewing it from a distance on YouTube, it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
The years have not been, voice-wise, the years have not been.
Oh, but also, don't you think maybe we're like so accustomed to hearing people lip sync all the time that when someone sings live, it just always sounds bad?
Well, I thought that, but then I saw side-by-side with her and Sandy Patty, and Sandy mopped the friggin' floor with her.
Who's Sandy Patty?
Sandy
sounds like a SpongeBob character.
She is. She is. She was adapted from SpongeBob into a real life lady.
She was like a contemporary, and Sandy Patty is way more like operatic, like
classic.
Wait
a minute. What is going on? She has two ladies' first names as a name. Yeah. Sandy Patty? Is Patty her last name?
Pick a lane. Patty is her last name. Yeah.
What?
I'm just not realizing I had the same thoughts as you are, but I didn't feel cool enough to talk about it because I didn't know who Sandy Patty was, and Kevin was like, Sandy Patty.
Oh, just now? You mean moments
ago?
What
I sound
no,
like
way,
I sound
way
like
back.
Danny Zuko. Good grief.
No. When I first heard
Sandy
about her.
Because
I hadn't
Patty
heard about her until this show. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, let's get to our final judgments about Christmas at Home. The way this works, Lisa, is we're going to give it a holy roast or a holy toast in the form of a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Holy toast, we send Amy and all her little Christmas angels all the way to heaven. Heaven-bound. Holy roast, she's going to go roast over an open fire in hell. Or if we don't want to be so extreme, we can put her in the space between. Like purgatory.
Oh, yeah, okay.
All right, so we start with
to
Caroline.
To us, a child is given. I'm going to give this a holy toast. It's like a very nice, well-rounded Christmas album if you're looking for that vibe. I probably wouldn't play it again in my home, but it was nice.
Yeah.
Holy toast.
I think the secret subtitle of this podcast is, not for me.
Not for me. Not for me. That would be me.
A holy
take
toast?
It away. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to give it the space between because Emmanuel, God with Us, and Joy to the World are really the only, in my opinion, the only two like good tracks on it. And they're really good. Like I will dip back into this to listen to those, but don't play that whole album on. I can't stand the Scary Mary song.
Scary Mary. You know, if you say Mother Mary in the mirror three times, a ghostly woman comes a
pregnant
woman. I think
she toured
woman
with Sandy Patty.
I mean, maybe the spirituality of that song hasn't hit me yet.
Scary Mary and Sandy Patty, double bill.
It's too spooky for me for now.
Sure.
And then that combined with the instrumental track that Amy had nothing to do with, it was downright plagiarism.
Thank you. Thank
I'll
you
have to put it in the space between.
The space between from Lisa. I will say a holy toast. I think a light holy toast from me, given my expectations for the album.
You had high expectations?
I had higher. I think Tennessee Christmas is like miles better.
Mm.
It's way more my flave than this stuff is. Because there's nothing remarkable about it, even though I do love Breath of Heaven. But yeah, Grown Up Christmas Lifts, just, yeah, doesn't really do it.
And then the hits like Rocking Around the Christmas Tree and the other ones that have already been done better by other people.
Yeah, it wasn't like a special spice about them.
Yeah, and if you got to justify the cover if you're just doing it. Because to me, this feels like an album you put out when you're like 57 and completely out of ideas.
Right.
But this outsold Heart and Motion. Mm-hmm. Her big album where like she came onto the scene in a big way.
This was the wave.
Yeah.
You've heard the blue wave. This is the Amy wave.
People were dumb.
People were dumb in 1992 for buying this?
Yeah.
Can you imagine 3 million people buying anything ever again? I sure can. I guess video games people do
iPhones.
That. Trenchant commentary or little sadness boxes. Yes. So yeah, that's it. You can give it a holy roast or holy toast or a space between. Go to at Christian Fun Pod. Get out there and
Pokemon go to the polls.
And just chill.
Just
on
chilling.
We'll be right back with more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that can kind of propel me into
to feel
like,
as incredible as to, you could feel.
To exercise more, to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that. And then
good
going,
brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/GoodChristianFun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
I agree. First month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
China dolls.
Candy corn.
Bunny hunt.
Little elf. Leprechauns.
Apricots.
Grasshoppers.
All the Christmas joy.
Here comes Christmas for me. There's,
hey, y'all. Here
there's
comes
another
Christmas
song we were
me.
Listening to just the other day where she like does a little talking break in the middle of the song here and there.
No.
No, okay. I have to play it now.
Okay, play it.
Okay, yeah, Amy.
And she says, hey, y'all, here comes Christmas for me.
Yes, which the grammar
she says,
of that is so insane.
Here comes Christmas for me. Okay, it's the cover of the Alvin and the Chipmunk song.
Oh,
it's
yeah?
during a long spoken word interlude too.
Oh my god.
She's like talking about her
there
her girls.
One year I gave the kids
potholder
kids.
This is her
kids.
This American Life story.
This is her big story.
It was a disaster.
What is she has a smoky voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
But before Christmas Day was up, guess who was making potholders?
Bitches.
Everybody in the whole family. And you can't even wrap this under the tree, but here comes Christmas for me. Just getting to hear my girls.
Oh my
and you
God.
Can't even wrap this under the tree. But here comes
oh,
Christmas
this is Alvin
for
Mitchell
me.
Hans.
Yeah.
This is nice.
Yeah, but this part's great. Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. Good Christmas Fun. Yeah. Off mic, we were talking about the virtues of gift giving for the holiday season
yes.
and whether or not we do it. I might do it for a handful of people this year.
Okay.
If I remember.
Wow. You don't do gifts with your family, though, right? Like you don't.
No.
You guys don't do. You guys gave that up.
The gift we give each other is not doing that.
Oh.
Because
okay.
only one of us is good at reacting to it.
Who?
We all hate my sister-in-law. Everyone else.
Oh,
in
so
the
she's
family,
not even blood. That's why she can do it.
Yeah. No, that's why. Because we didn't pass down our crappy genes. We just gave her
wow, so
some
you,
crappy genes.
You never like the gifts that you get, and you're. You find it hard to act like you do?
10 years ago, I did. But at this point, when we're all like in our 30s, basically, and
right.
married, and with like, what are you going to do?
Right. What are you going
to
do?
I'm not going to send a list to my mom. That'd be crazy.
Did you do that?
Maybe.
Caroline made a list. She's checking in twice. We got another list on this show, and it's the list of the worst Christian Christmas song of all time.
Woo-hoo.
The world! Oh, hallelujah!
The worst Christian Christmas song of all time. We're going to listen to two songs, and it's a theme this year. It is the Battle of the Babies.
Oh,
the Battle
okay.
of the Babies.
Okay.
We're going to listen to them. Lisa, the way it works is we'll just pick, we'll vote on which one we think is the worst song
okay.
out of the two.
Oh, I'm so excited.
The yeah. first...
This is when you get to, you're fully unleashed.
Have
like,
you heard
go
these, Caroline?
No, I haven't. Kevin preps them.
Did you feel like you were leashed before? Because you've been unleashed from day one.
These guys literally have me shackled to a wall right now.
Mary, Mary style. Okay, this is by Jason Gray. The first song is by Jason Gray. It's called Baby King.
Oh, Baby King.
Baby King.
Well, I thought these were going to be songs by babies. I was way more excited. Ooh, I'm loving this already.
This is modern.
Yeah, try to get me to tell you that I don't like this song. It's never going to happen.
Come now, you don't have to fear anymore.
Hell yeah, I'm into this.
There's never been.
Oh my god, whatever the other song is, it's worse than this one. This is the best song I've ever heard.
Whatever commercial this song is laying over, yeah, I'm buying the product.
It's not easy to let down your
great
guard.
Wow.
That it might take a baby to open your heart.
A baby.
And tenderly pull your defenses apart.
Take a baby. It might take a baby to open your heart.
Open your badge.
Ring
out. I mean, that's true. It might take a baby to open your badge.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with the song. I really like.
You're obsessed.
I love it.
This is the.
Be afraid. You came as a baby.
I rule this.
Oh my god.
Baby kingdom and.
Oh my god, I love this song. I think like I actually just found a new favorite Christmas song.
It's fun.
The child who can make us all children again.
It sounds like a dark power.
Show us the next one, Kev.
Well, we gotta listen a little bit more.
It's perfect. We already know it's perfect.
It's perfect. We're done. It's over.
Who is this by?
Jason Gray.
He deserves an Academy Award.
An Academy Award for this Christian Christmas song.
Let's get it in a movie.
And the Academy Award for Best Christian Christmas Song. Wow.
Defenseless.
Small and defenseless. This is beautiful.
In meekness.
Mm. It's sweet. Because, you know, when I was a younger person and before I believed stuff like this, I would make fun of the song a lot. But now, as like an adult person, I'm like, that's actually incredible. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, now Christmas actually means something to me where it didn't before.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like,
interesting.
If God is a baby, like, man, imagine being God and then just deciding to be a baby. That's like so the most vulnerable thing ever.
It is.
This is how you guys feel about the Spooky Mary song, but I feel about this song. And I will convince you that it's beautiful
it's like,
and perfect.
Wow, it's like means a lot. I think the beginning, it personifies a baby a little bit too much, where like this baby is doing a lot of things, and I don't like that visual. It's like a baby's opening your heart and pulling your defenses apart. But look,
this baby's eviscerating you. This baby's
slapping
destroying
your
ass. You from the inside out.
But I like the thrust of it. It's a fun song.
Yeah. You like the thrust of this baby.
Power comes Kevin. Swaddled in meekness. I mean, if that's not a back tattoo, I don't know what is.
Swaddled. You put swaddled on your body.
Mine would be power comes swaddled in fleekness.
Oh my god.
All right,
get out.
Guys. All right, the second song is You'll Believe God is a Baby by Ariana Grande.
Oh, I wish.
It's not.
A baby.
The second song.
Goo. Ga, 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 ga,
goo.
Goo.
Ga, 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 ga. Give me my diaper. Uh-huh. Sorry, I took that too long. Keep going.
No, do the second verse. Give it the bridge.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Give me my num-nums.
Oh, whatever kind of baby this is, I'm worried about it.
Give me my num-nums. This is this baby. This baby by our old friend, Dad Sheeran himself, Stephen Curtis Chapman.
I hate it.
Your takes are so hot, so quick.
They are. They're yeah.
I just give him a chance.
You're more like a vibe person.
Who wouldn't trust this man?
What's he doing?
Hey, welcome to Hobbiton.
Oh, God.
Like a I'm glass of mead?
I'm showing them the picture of the
album. I mean,
my
eyes aren't great, but he looks like Willem Dafoe from here.
Oh, whoa.
I see that.
William Dafoe. Okay, I got to send the lyrics for this.
Okay. Ooh.
Man, this baby's a little more chill out.
Yeah.
Well, he cried when he was hungry.
Uh-oh, I love it. He did all the things
he
that
shat himself and swiped the poo.
Oh my God.
Oh no, this
he
is
wiggled,
the
girl. Wiggled.
When he took his first step and the tears when he got his first teeth.
Oh my
almost
God.
Almost everything about this little baby seemed as natural as it could be.
Wait, do not all babies make the angels sing?
No, some are real snoozers.
I guess it's like he commanded angels.
Oh, he made the yeah. He forced the angels.
<Right. laughs> He's the boss. You might call him a boss baby, actually.
Oh, dear Lord. Is that what that movie's about?
And then twist. This baby was Jesus.
Oh. This baby grew into a young boy.
Mm. Oh, here we go. Wow.
This. Oh, we got lyrics. Okay. Oh, boy. Learn to read and write and wrestle with that. There was a climbing of trees and a scrape underneath. And I'm jerking.
Oh, come on. He grew taller and some things started
changing. Like his complexion and the sound of his voice. I mean,
wait,
I don't want to
what?
Think about
they're
it.
They're talking about
started
Jesus' puberty?
Growing hair oh, down no. there.
And he that had a good. Really nice bush. This is the wildest song.
Bush. Bush, baby. Oh, my God.
You.
Ew, you said it.
No, I'm grossed out by this song. Oh, my gosh. Oh, then it gets real serious. This boy became a man. Love made him laugh, death made him cry. With the life that he lived and the death that he died, he showed us heaven with his hands and his heart. This man was God's own son. This is a little bit Jesse's Girl right here.
Yeah. Wish I could be God's baby.
Son.
God's
Jesus son.
All right, this baby. Battle of the Babies. This Baby by Stephen Chris
okay,
Chapman.
This song, I mean, this is why Ricky Bobby goes on about baby Jesus
right.
in Talladega Nights.
Right.
Like, why are we so obsessed with being a baby? It's so
is this
weird.
A Christmas song?
It was on his Christmas album.
I guess Christmas is about okay. baby Jesus.
Yeah.
I get it.
For
he
sure.
said his complexion changed and his voice
that's
got
not
low.
Cool. Like, what does that mean? He got acne? I don't want to
cool.
think about that.
I think
that.
That's great. I think that's
think.
Great.
Too much detail on
I
this
love
one,
it.
I think.
I love it because...
Jesus got into punk for a phrase.
He locked himself in his room and said, F you, Mom. Like, it feels... It's, this song came out in 1995. The previous song... Baby King was like 2012,
Baby
so it's very
King.
Different.
Yes, different vibes.
Very different. This is a sure. solo.
Oh,
is this a solo? No, it's William, the co-writer. There's Stephen Curse Chapman, and the co-writer is William C. Dix. I'm not kidding.
Willie C. Dix.
Oh
Willie C. Dix
gosh.
Or Wony?
Yeah.
William.
Oh my gosh.
William Chatterton Dix.
You see a lot of Dix.
Will C. Dix.
Will
wow.
C.
Yes.
Dix.
Will C. Dix.
Guys, this is God's little gift to us, right?
God's little baby
wait,
gift to us.
Wait, but he died in 1898. How's this a co-write? Oh, this must be like a traditional song that Stephen Curtis Slapman must
yeah.
have rewritten a little bit. Hey, it's better than the song, the alternate song I had prepared. I'm getting nuttin' for Christmas by Reliant K. Shut up.
Is this about a baby?
No. That's why I didn't play it.
Oh, well,
that was just a little something for Caroline, so
something
she could
that makes babies.
She could break out her classic catchphrase.
Did you not?
Oh boy, Battle of the Babies.
Sorry,
this
that
baby
was tough for you to sit through.
This Baby by Stephen Chris Chapman,
which
Lisa said, "quote I hate it."
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Baby
that
King
one's so much worse. Baby King
Gray.
Is a rock, is a slapping bop. And this baby
is
like weird.
No, this baby's because we don't remember the humanity of Jesus enough. If he was fully God, fully man. I'm just watching. I'm actually, usually Caroline would for real glaze her eyes over, but I think she's trying to be polite, so she's holding herself back from doing it.
Like,
oh, she got blood stumps coming out of her nose. And yeah. But no, we forget that. We discount the humanity of Jesus. He probably farted with the disciples. He took dumps. He had weird skin and weird complexion. That's an interesting part of Jesus.
That is, and I think I'd like to see that in like a skit or a story, but in a song.
Right.
It feels right for ridicule. And like, this is an embarrassment.
You're saying our God is to be ridiculed, Caroline?
To Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Shame.
For sure.
Yeah, it was a bit too much. Too many description words.
Yeah,
Baby
too
King. Baby King by Jason Gray.
Baby King.
This is bargain bin Coldplay. Those vocal hooks at the
whatever,
beginning. The
it's fun.
Yeah, like if you, hey, remember, what the hell was it? The Viva La Vida? Remember 10 years ago? What if we did that again? Like, there's a lot of Viva La Vida there.
You think right here?
I think so.
I feel like this sounds like a Christian song already. You know, like these first opening bars.
It sounds like a Christian song because I would argue Christian music sounds like Coldplay now. I'd make the argument. But you know, if it speaks to you, great. I'm voting for this, baby. I want to see weird, pube-growing, breaking out in the face Jesus teenager. And I want to see Stephen Chris Chapman singing about him.
Jesus.
Wrestling with his dad.
Jesus wrestling with his dad.
Jesus who can't talk to girls without breaking out in sweats.
Jesus.
How you vote?
I already said I think this baby is bad. Baby King is good.
Lisa?
Wait, the song we're listening to right now is my favorite.
Is Baby King.
Yeah, Baby King for the win.
Is bad. Yeah.
And what's
the
other one?
Christian
Very
song
real
is.
Descriptive baby is the bad song.
You know what? I think we should make this, because we've done best Christian song, worst Christian song. Let's make the contest malleable to whatever the songs are speaking to us. We're voting for the best Christian song. So I'm saying this baby. You guys are saying Baby King.
Yeah. Wait, you are really saying
oh,
this
so
baby?
You're saying, like, as a Christian...
Yes.
Are you just being contrarian right
no.
now? Okay.
Because this stuff bugs me in the way, of, like, the imperfect sincerity of Stephen Curtis Chapman doesn't.
Okay.
Caroline's fully jerking off now as a response to literally every other thing I'm saying. Yeah, there you go. Hey, just like this baby.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay,
whereas this feels like assembly line. Stephen Curtis Chapman stuff sounds like... It's even if it's right. weird.
So Steven is like trying to say something about the Lord, and this guy's trying to like sell an album.
Yeah, which there's nothing wrong with that. We're all trying to sell our albums in our own ways. Mm-hmm. What?
But how can you say that? Because how can you say that?
You, because
how
first of all,
it's so hard.
No, first of all,
whoa,
they were very different times. They were very
they
different
are very, very
times.
Different times. I
so
think,
how do you know that?
I think
like
you have a little bit of a recency bias
because
in that term all the time.
Kevin, think about it this way.
You know
Stephen,
it better.
What's his name? Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Yes,
the names of these people.
You
why
it. You got it right?
He could have been writing that to sell records at the time. That could have been the most like stock.
It probably sounds like
song
ever.
I think that's probably right.
Yeah.
I think that's probably right.
So you just love the 90s. You're
just
like
don't
a Christian
like Coldplay.
Hipster.
I like Coldplay fine. It's great if you don't care about trying to have taste.
Oh my God.
If you don't care about trying to have taste.
Oh my
like,
God.
You,
get
so
out
like,
here.
You know what? Trying to get into music is too much work. I'll just do Coldplay. I'll just do whatever they put out. No, they have good songs. We love them. Shouts out Chris Martin.
Yeah.
But I'm outvoted anyway. Baby King, Burger King. You're the best Christian Christmas song
Baby
of all time.
King.
Oh, boy. What a fun charge. That's the most charged it's been in a while.
Yeah, I know. I got heated. I'm sorry for yelling at you.
Usually a line. No, it's okay.
I think I probably set a weird tone because I jumped in right away with my hot takes.
No,
I didn't know
we
were supposed to like let it breathe.
I
and
want
I was
you
like,
to feel
Kevin,
comfortable.
Change the song.
No, we should be more decisive. I strive to have as much clarity as you do in this respect.
Yeah.
But now let's bring it down a little bit. Let's take it to a different space. Let's take ourselves to Christmas Eve service in a church. We're all lighting our little candles. They're playing Oh Holy Night. The wax is coming down your little fingies.
I just opened my eyes and Lisa and all her friends were laughing at us.
And they're That's making J.O. motions at you. Lisa, the way this works is we don't plug ourselves or our own projects or what we're enjoying in secular culture. We lift them up.
Okay.
To the Lord. Excited. And we start with Caroline.
You can lift me up at Caroline's Farts online. And there's, I would like to lift up a show I started watching this week on Amazon Prime called Forever with Maya Rudolph and Fred Armisen.
I've heard it's so good.
It's very good. It's really funny. Like I was cackling and having a good time. Great show, a lot of twists, good fun story. I'd recommend it.
Is Catherine Keener your spirit animal?
Gosh, if I could be even just a little bit like Catherine,
you look
Keener,
like her.
I would. Thank you. Oh my God.
That's why I thought you liked her.
But you think I only Imagine. Like people because they look like me?
Oh wow, she is great. She is
That's
a
why
talent.
The Rihanna thing never.
Okay.
But Catherine Keener's a babe.
Yeah, she is a babe. I really like her. And so it's just nice to see her in a show, too. She's great.
I mean her in the show.
I love being in the show. Wait.
All right. We turn to Lisa.
I just want to lift up Big Mouth on Netflix.
Big Mouth.
I'm really enjoying that.
Yeah, I'm all done. Good for the youth.
Started over at the beginning again.
Wow.
Did it bring back memories of your own adolescence?
No.
Oh, okay.
I didn't have one.
Skipped it.
I've always been a woman.
You went from elementary school to this.
I'm a bit of a baby king.
You didn't. Not of this baby. Definitely a baby king. Baby Go king. Off, baby king, right?
No, I mean, Big Mouth, I mean, it can be a little bit creepy sometimes because it's almost like these adult characters are encouraging these children to do things like masturbate and stuff, but I think it's pretty cool.
All right. I hear you.
We got two Maya Rudolph show plugs in a row.
Yeah. Well, she's great.
She's in that too?
Yeah, she is. You got to watch it.
She plays the hormone. She's kind of the best part.
She's
bubble bath.
I'm going to take a bubble bath.
Yeah, that's very good.
Okay.
And where can people find you and your stuff?
You can find me at the Lisa Gilroy on Twitter and Instagram, and at the UCB every other Sunday, and at the Second City Hollywood every other Friday.
Well, you can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter, and you can lift us up at the show at Christian Fun Pod on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all that stuff. You can go to Spotify, check out the playlist. You can go to patreon.com/goodchristianfun for another weekly dose GCF second service.
Can I also just say this background music sounds like it's about to be One Last Time with Ariana Grande? Like the opening track, the thank you. This.
And then you can leave us a review at iTunes, Apple Podcasts. Every review you leave us, we donate $1 to charity. This month's charity is?
We're donating to the California Wildfire Relief. Wildfire isn't the right term, but the fire relief.
The California fire relief. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Oh, good grief.
Merry Thanks Christmas and happy coming. Holidays.
Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays,
Merry Canadian
guys.
Christmas.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Put a maple leaf on top of the tray.
Oh, what?
Hello, it's me.
Irish. Hello, it's me, Justin Trudeau. Hi.
Hey, people like me a lot for some reason. No, I like him. He's a hot sack.
He is.
And all of Pod's people said,
Amen.
Friends, what song should we go out on? An Amy Grant song? A baby song? What are we going to do?
Joy to the... Wait, what's the really cinematic one?
Yeah, that one.
Joy to the World. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Ooh. We finished the podcast.
Merry Christmas to all.
Merry Christmas to all. Good night.
Santa!
Hey, it's me, Santa. Wow. I'm a Christian now. The gospel is great. I'm going to convert all my little elves. And if they don't convert, I'll fire their asses.
Santa, do you believe in inerrancy?
Oh, it depends on the passage. There's a lot of differences in the translations. Oh, we'll see you next week. Goodbye. Will Forte!
Yeah.
Hey, y'all, it's me, Amy Grant. Okay, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. I was expecting, you know, for them to be a little bit harsher about some stuff or meaner, because they're both very... Kevin and Caroline, they're mean people. They are not nice sometimes. They are very, very mean and very scary. Didn't appreciate that crack they made about my voice now. I think I sound friggin' awesome, whatever. But I'm here to tell you, Kevin and Caroline told me to tell you. They told me in a very mean way, because they are very mean, that next week on GCF, they are watching the PureFlix movie, Christmas with a capital C. Oh, wow. I can't believe they're doing that to themselves and to you. But, okay, here we are. I guess they wanted to connect thematically to last year. They're watching Christmas with a capital C, the PureFlix movie. I think maybe you can watch it if you have a PureFlix subscription, but if you don't, they're going to make the link to watch it available in the show notes for this episode. So you can watch it in the show notes for this episode. It's password protected. The password is all lowercase, happy holidays. So that's kind of them saying like, hey, if you, you know. So link in the show notes for this episode, and it will be for next week's episode too. The password is happy holidays, which you know what? Amy's fine with that. Amy loves all friggin' religions. She thinks they're great. Okay? Okay, Amy, Mom, Grant, over and out.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.